All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Have on with us today our favorite guest, Brother Billy, Sinner Saved. We're going to give you another storm warning broadcast, and not only that, but we're going to talk to you also as two veterans who have served in the armed forces. We're also both preppers, and which shouldn't we all be? And we're going to give you a little bit of our mindset of how people should probably be thinking about preparation, not just individually, but also husbands and wives. And we're not just going to speak on the physical preparations, but also the marriage preparations, the spiritual preparations, for a time of testing is coming to us all. And I pray that we are all prepared for it. Brother, floor is yours. Go ahead.
Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindness, his tender mercies and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by American Vindicta and also by preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brethren in Christ Jesus at First Baptist Church, located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous times. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God in his unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Who has ever become poor for God? Who has given freely that has not in return received freely? Who has ever laid himself out for the Lord, consecrating his substance, his influence, his time, his talents, that has not experienced a welling up in his own soul of the hidden spring, more than replacing all that he has dispensed? The grace that has been employed, the faith that has been exercised, the wealth that has been consecrated, the influence that has been exerted, the reproach that has been endured, the suffering that has been experienced, the health that has been expended, the loss that has been sustained for Christ. Christ has more than recompensed, even in the present time state. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is the precept. And all these things shall be added unto you is the promise. And he, that is the Lord our God, and he who enjoins the precept will make good the promise. That was old-time theologian, preacher Octavius Winslow. Worthy the Lamb, for he was slain. All saints in heaven sing. Let our voices join with them. He's worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. From earth's foundation, he was slain to save his chosen band. And for all time, the Lamb must reign. He's worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. As Judah's lion, he prevailed to loose the seven seals, bring forth God's purpose without fail. He's worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. Worthy the Lamb, all power to gain, all riches, wisdom, and strength. All glory, honor, praise, obtain. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. A reading from Romans 9:21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? As a potter has the authority and power over clay to make of it whatever he wants, so does God have authority and power over every individual to make of him whatever he wills. And this truth is foundational to an understanding of God and a proper respect for him. To a rebel, this seems unfair, and his enmity toward God is aggravated. But to those who trust God, it is a blessed truth, for they have God's word on it that they shall be vessels of honor. While it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we can be certain that the potter who molds us is capable of great works. Thanks be to God. We are his workmanship. Excellent message from preacher Joe Terrell. Beloved, call to mind what great things the Lord has done for you, and do not yield to despondency. Or you can also say, do not yield to anxiety or depression. It is not long since your language was, he hath done all things well. Be still and know that I am God. But now gloomy distress seems to have taken hold upon you, and you question whether you are one of the Lord's children, and complain that you cannot pray. But you should think upon past mercies and be encouraged, as the psalmist was, as it is written, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. In love in times past forbids me to think, he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. You should remember that though you change in your frames of mind, he that hath chosen you in Christ Jesus changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks be to God for that, friends. It is true, he may at some times, for a small moment, does hide his face, yet with everlasting loving kindness, he gathers his people. As it is written, heaviness may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I'm not sure who that was that wrote that, but that was very wonderful. A reading from Psalm 18, verses 30 and 30 through 32. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Thank you, Lord. It is true that once a man is saved by God's grace, he will remain saved forever. Yet the scriptures are also full of warnings to believers against unbelief, against drawing back, against neglecting the worship of God and the hearing of the word, and exhortations to continue in the faith. We are told to abide in him and in his word and in his love. This abiding in Christ is the result of the life and faith which he has given to us. It is also true evidence that we have been saved and shall be saved. Branches that abide in the vine do not bear fruit of themselves, but from the vine, and as a result of their union with the vine. Even so, those who are in Christ will bear much fruit. And as the Master said, and so shall ye be my disciples. That was from preacher Henry Mahan. Faith, not a feeling. Salvation is not a question of feeling, as so many would make it. It is entirely a matter of grace wrought in the soul of a sinner by the power of the Holy Ghost and believed by faith. This faith is something quite different from a mere feeling of the person or an assent of the intellect. Mere feelings, sentiments, or emotion can never rise above the source from whence they come, and that source is self. But faith has to do with God and his eternal word, and is a living link connecting the heart that possesses it with God who gives it. Feelings and sentiments can never connect with the soul of God. No doubt, faith will produce feeling and sentiments. That is to say, faith will produce spiritual feelings and truthful sentiments. But the fruits of faith must never be confounded with faith itself. Christ can only be known by his own revelation and by the faith which he himself imparts. Well stated from Preacher Scott Richardson. A good description of the Bible. Some of you will have heard this before. It bears repeating. Those of you who may not have heard the following, sit up straight and pay attention. You're going to love it. This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable, unchangeable, that is, friends. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be godly. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity. Hallelujah. I don't know who wrote that, but that's something else. Reading from Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgiving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ is never commanded to be done on the basis of legal or mercenary motives, thinking that we gain or earn God's forgiveness of our sins by our forgiving others. If it were, none of us would ever be forgiven. Even the fact that we must admit, if we be honest, that forgiving others is oftentimes difficult because of our sinful flesh. Thank God that we are forgiven by his grace, founded upon the blood of Jesus Christ and him alone. Friends, please see Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 7. Divine forgiveness is here commended as a pattern. High and heavenly is the prescribed walk. Precepts from God admit no lower standard. His children must ever strive, the Spirit helping to be holy as he is holy, to seek perfection as their Father is perfect, to purify themselves even as Christ is pure. This molding in celestial likeness is mainly formed by study of the Word. The sacred truths to which thoughts there are led produce resemblance. This is a general position. The present subject points to a special instance. The grace of forgiving will be best learned by gazing on God, set forth in Scripture as the glorious model of his forgiving us of all our sins. The students of this school of grace will be conspicuous on the stage of life, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven them. Let the example first be viewed. The duty will then take a clearer form. Nice. Oh, that was from theologian, old-timer, preacher Henry Law. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." The Master, Christ Jesus, says again in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," says the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, Yehovah Tsidkenu. Bless the name, Baruch Hashem, Holy One of Israel, Hakadosh Yisrael, hallelujah. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor American Vindicta, and also future shortwave world band radio broadcasts for storm warning, then please get a hold of Doug. And then also, if you wish to donate for the world band radio broadcasts, I don't need to see the money. Just go to www.cr.com. I say again, www.cr.com. Get their physical mailing address so you can send a donation. Make sure you indicate on the check or whatever that it's for the Storm Warning Gospel Broadcast. Of interest here, there are millions of poor folks that do not have computers, laptops, or smartphones. But many people have old-fashioned, inexpensive radios, and that's how they're able to listen to the Storm Warning Gospel message. And what's very exciting is I only have to pay $40 for a single 15-minute commercial-free broadcast. However, that radio station, Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR.com, they put it out on three different frequencies, one on Friday morning, a second frequency Saturday morning, and a third frequency on Saturday evening. So basically, anybody around the world with one of these radios will be able to hear the everlasting gospel of Christ Jesus. I greatly appreciate those of you that have donated funds. In doing so, you are propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world into the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the soon coming Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings unto those that fear him in his holy name. Talk about a glorious future, people. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. And please indicate what country you're from, how the reception was, whether you're watching or listening to this on YouTube or actually on radio. Just let me know, and feel free to, I look forward to writing you back. One more time, the email address to write is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of Saints, and King of Glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ. Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Hallelujah.
Brother, let me ask you a question. I know you and I, we pay attention to the news quite a bit. Yeah. Have you heard of what's going on with January 6th and all this new developments?
Yeah. There's a, it's start slowly. Some of these Republicans are starting to wakey and look at this stuff. You probably know more details than I do. Go ahead.
44,000 hours worth of footage is now being released. If I'm correct, that's what it says, now being released. And there's a Senator Clay Higgins. He said that 6 or 10 of our lovely Democratic officials are probably going to retire within the next coming weeks. There's a big shakeup going on. This is breaking news. Democrats officially call for Biden's removal.
Man,
what is going on? Right after Xi Jinping comes here to Commie State, California, meets with, good old grandpa over here, and he's 81. He just had his 81st birthday. I think they're going to kick this man to the curb because the war is coming.
I hear you.
he was a I don't know what he was supposed to do. I was going to say he was a good standby puppet, but he wasn't even good for that. But they are ready for this war.
Man.
CNN finally admits the narrative that Ukraine has lost the war against Russia, which we have all known for months or a year at least. So a lot of moving and shaking. Yeah, it's a huge mess. Huge mess. Of course, right before he leaves, he gives Iran $10 billion extra dollars. You know, this is what I kind of see. I was talking with Jamie Walden yesterday, or excuse me, no, just a while ago. Oh, my days are blurring together. And, you know, we said the very similar thing that the next series of Middle Eastern wars is about to start back up. You can see the war machine turning, and you can see the gears turning. You can see the industries of, you know, all these powerful nations going to a wartime style industry. And then there's like a tactical pause. There's a tactical pause going on. Everybody's posturing, but no one's moving. Russia is ready to nuke the world. Putin is not going to allow himself to be assassinated. Try as hard as we may, that's not going to happen. Europe is scared to death of the Russian bear, but keeps funneling a little bit of, you know, money and soldiers and equipment into Ukraine, which really, it's honestly, it's pathetic. You're doing nothing but just hurting yourself at this point. The Middle Eastern wars are kicking off. Everybody's wanting to come and fight little Israel now. And I want to make something to note, and Jamie Walden and I are going to get into this more tomorrow, but it's interesting that people, they stop reading prophecy and they fail, or at least let's say the Israelis don't read their own prophecies. When Psalm 83 war starts, and then the Ezekiel 38-39 war starts, Israel does not defeat its enemies. God defeats Israel's enemies.
Hallelujah.
So that as it's foretold throughout the entire scripture in Old Testament, so you will know that I am the Lord. To glorify myself, you'll know I am the Lord. I allowed you to be defeated. I even raised up a nation to defeat you. And then when they came, I stopped them. And then I defeated them. You didn't do it.
That's right.
I allowed them to beat you down so you couldn't do anything, so that then you'll know I am the Lord. Right?
The Lord's going to make it super clear, because everybody in the world, especially the Jewish folks, they're going to realize, number one, the IDF didn't save us. They're going to, number two, America didn't save us. And they're going to give all glory, honor, praise, and thanksgiving to the coming King of Kings.
Amen. Do you think that's why America is nowhere in this playing field? I say that superficially.
I came across a document, 1998, 1999, 100 reasons why America is modern day Babylon. And I, of course, it doesn't say America in the Holy Bible, but man, I couldn't argue with a single one of those points, Doug.
And it's only gotten worse.
Oh yeah. We are the land of unwalled villages and cities, and, man, America has shed so much bloodshed. We, corporately speaking, we have sown to the wind, and we're about to reap the whirlwind.
Well, not only that, we are the hammer of all the nations.
That is fact.
I mean, I was saying this yesterday. No matter where we go, when it comes to war, America wins. It may be bloody, and that win may be questionable, but for a period of time, wherever we went, we conquered. And then World War II, right? And we won. And then Korea, we kind of won. And then Vietnam, not so much. And then every war since then, not so much. Almost played to the point that it wasn't meant to be won. It was meant almost as this big policing action.
Sure.
Though they were legitimate wars, though they were legitimate battles, if we wanted to go and decimate, by God, we have the ability to do that. No one's going to stop us. So I see what's going on right now with Iran. With all this stuff going on right now, you know, Azerbaijan and Armenia are kicking off. Azerbaijan's probably going to invade Armenia and kill all the Armenian Christians, as they always do, and no one ever hears about that. No one ever complains about it. No one in UN ever is ever there trying to step up for, you know, our brothers and sisters in Armenia. In Azerbaijan, you know, they're going to be their proxies are Iran. So, you know, they're going to end up just being another, you know, northern territory of Iran. So as I look at it, you see a lot of prophetic movement. Let's say that prophetic movement. You know, all the neighboring countries and peoples for Psalm 83 war are activated or active and have said they're willing to engage Israel in war should Israel go to Gaza and displace all these people and send them to Jordan and then to Egypt. Hey, here's a little thing that's kind of funny, like World War II. When Germany started to capture all the Jews, they went to all these local nations. They wouldn't take the Jews. They went to the Americans. The Americans said, nope, we're not taking your refugees, your Jews. Well, same thing's happening for what Israel's doing to the people of Gaza. Nobody wants to take them.
Yeah, well, nobody wants to take them. Have you overheard some American leftists talking about bringing a couple million of those Philistines over here to the U.S.?
So I've heard like media pundits, but and I keep my nose to the grindstone with American politics. It is extraordinarily boring, but I do pay attention. We are, as far as I am reading, we are not going to accept any Palestinians. But we accepted all the people from Afghanistan, and look how great that turned out. But we're not going to accept the Palestinians. I'll tell you why. Here's my tactical reason why. If they need a war to start, if they must have a war, then you must have that buildup of pressure. And nothing builds up pressure like the sudden displacement of millions of people that you now have to take care of.
Man.
So in a evil mind, keeping those people there and forcing them into Jordan, forcing them, you know, into Egypt, that actually plays into what they want. Forcing the people into northern Palestinian, into Lebanon, right? Forcing them up there to Lebanon and then into Syria. And then, you know, you got Iran. Iran's over there wanting to have World War III so the, you know, the 12th Mahdi can come. So it is definitely a powder keg. America is funding all sides. America's funding all sides. Israel helped create Hamas. The CIA helped to create Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and all these other groups. One way or the other, we've either created them or trained them one way or the other. So when you look at like who is really doing the meddling, who's really the one that keeps kicking the hornet's nest? I mean, is it Israel or is it America? Is it Iran or is it America? Is it China or is it America? You know, I'm an American. I love being an American and I'm very patriotic, but I'm also not blind to the politics and the politicians and their endless warmongering.
Right.
And we're the ones who are going to face the brunt of that. Go ahead.
No, I agree. Keep talking.
Well, I don't know. I'm paying attention to it. Like I said, there's like a weird tactical pause right now. Not much is really moving. The fighting in Gaza is not as bad as people expected it to be, but Israel's taking a slow roll approach, which is perfect. It's what they should have done. They shouldn't do this blitzkrieg where they bombed everything and anyone. I mean, how do you help yourself when you indiscriminately bomb? Okay. You can't, the cell phone footage is proving how what Israel's doing with just bombing everything and anyone everywhere is not helping you on the international scale. And yet you want to say what the people from Palestine did by coming into Israel and slaughtering people satanically, brutally, right? This is my mindset. Is this a tit for tat, or is this going to be a measured military response? You have emotions that are going to get in the way. And I know people in the comics section are going to go crazy right now. I'm pro-Israel, not pro-Israel government. I'm pro-people, right? As I think we all should be.
I think that was well stated, Doug.
Yeah, but I do not agree with what the Israeli government is doing. Likewise, I believe Bibi Netanyahu wants a war with Iran because that's where his older brother died fighting against the Iranians. I think he wants vengeance. Since 2000, when 9/11 happened, Netanyahu came over here and he said, you know, before we went into Afghanistan and then we went into Iraq. So this is a little bit after 2001. Netanyahu's sitting there talking to our Congress. I remember when this happened. He said, I promise you, if you take out Saddam Hussein, the Middle East will know peace. Okay. Mission accomplished. And that did not happen. We kicked the hornet's nest by listening to Netanyahu. And we probably knew, let's be honest, we probably knew that was going to happen. But, you know, now Netanyahu's back in charge again. Did you see the laws they've passed? If you speak out against, I guess, the Knesset or against the government, they'll arrest you. They'll imprison you.
That's terrible.
Yeah, they're not exactly fond of Christians in Israel. So, you know, what is Israel doing? They want to be the light of the world. They want to be the hipsters of the world. They're talking about how progressive they are, how beautiful Israel is. They got that girl who plays Wonder Woman. She's like, you know, in her bathing suit, taking pictures in various places in Israel. They're trying to gain popularity, trying to bring a sex appeal to Israel. It's not working. And furthermore, Israel, you need to be focused on getting back to God. And I want to read this. You and I were talking about this a while ago. If you guys want to follow along, here's a little Bible study. Ezekiel 21. The Lord has drawn his sword. Let me do the smart thing and put on my glasses so I don't squint the whole time. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuaries. Prophesy against the land of Israel and say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you and will draw my sword from its sheath and will cut off from you both righteous and wicked. Because I will cut off from you both righteous and wicked, therefore my sword shall be drawn from its sheath against all the flesh from south to north. And all the flesh shall know that I am the Lord. I have drawn my sword from its sheath. It shall not be sheathed again. As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief, groan before their eyes. And when they say to you, why do you groan? You shall say, because of the news that it is coming. Every heart will melt, and all hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming. And it will be fulfilled, declares the Lord. What is coming?
Great, much warfare, bloodshed, calamities.
Yeah, everything. Psalm 83, they're beaten all the way back to the Jerusalem gate. I mean, wow. They have the entire army is defeated, and then they have to go all the way back to the little bitty outskirts of Jerusalem. That's how badly they're beaten by all the surrounding armies. That is total invasion and annihilation to the point that you should lose. They're not going to give in. They're not going to surrender. They're going to be beaten all the way back to Jerusalem. It's going to be a lot of death. Man, that's going to, like, think about that. Could you imagine invading Israel and killing your way all the way to Jerusalem? That's a lot of death. Look what just a few guys on paragliders did. They're going to do that to everyone all the way to Jerusalem. And they're going to be surrounded from north to south. They'll be invaded. And there'll be no relent. There'll be no relent. And this is the way God works with his people. This is what he does to snap his people back into reality that I am the Lord. You shall rely on me and me alone. You hoard after all these things, after all these other gods, after all these other nations of the way they made themselves empires. That's what you wanted to be. Yet you stopped focusing on me. And every time Israel did this, man, he brought them low. He brought giants against them. He brought the Ammonites against them. He brought Babylon against them. He'll bring the world down on top of Jerusalem, on top of Israel, until they finally submit. That's why God says they're such a stiff-necked, hard-headed people. I took you from bondage in Egypt out into the wilderness for 40 years because you just wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. I put words in my prophets' mouths, and I had them guide you. I fed you. Remember when you were hungry? I fed you quail. Remember when you were thirsty? Water came out of the rock. I fed you. I gave you water. I gave you shelter. I kept you alive until the point that generation that was holding you back died off so a new generation could go into the promised land. And still you didn't listen to me. You had my ark of covenant with you, still with all the miracles. You didn't listen. So I have to bring again an executioner to your doorstep. Like the book of Judges. Every time Israel, Judea, Jerusalem, whatever, were beaten back to the point of they should have all died, a judge rose up, the army was gathered, supernaturally reinforced, and they went and defeated the military that invaded them only because of God. And then they would worship the Lord, and they sung praises of him. We couldn't have done this. Only the Lord did this. Only he is God. And then they'd start to fall away. And it's like a really weird pattern with Israel where, like, literally you are the people of God and you don't get it, to the point that all the Gentiles who are Christians, we don't have to go through what you went through. We just have to watch what happens to you. And that puts the fear in us, or at least it should. But the haughtiness, the hard-headedness, the stiff-necked people of Israel, they have to be brought in low so many times to be brought back to salvation. And like in the book of Isaiah, every time God would come there and he would chastise that nation, means, you know, bringing the sword against them, his hand was stretched out still. Because he did not seek for every man, woman, and child to perish. But it's, I wonder, like in Israel, how much worse is it going to get before this begins? Because, you know, there's going to be some sort of a flashpoint in Israel. I don't exactly know what it is. Maybe it's what they do in Gaza. Maybe it's what they do to their own citizens. Maybe they have like their own final solution, like the Nazis did. I mean, don't think that people aren't crazy enough not to do it again, or the people who had it done to them. Don't think that they won't do it either. What do you think?
I don't have a whole lot to say right at the moment, but I'm taking it all in, what you're bringing up, and you're real boned up on history, better than I am, but it's the time of Jacob's trouble is upon them, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Prophecy is going to be fulfilled. No matter what the Israelis think, and no matter what the Christians think, prophecy gets fulfilled. So I guess the best advice is to read your Bibles, learn about the history of the world if you can. And Israel is God's timepiece, as it's been called so many times. You got to watch what's going on in Israel. It's part of the seasons that I guess you could say predict what's coming next. But moving on, we were talking about preparation for people for this time coming, monetary preparations, weapons preparations, training preparations, food, the solar panels, the bug out, bug in mindset. But we also wanted to talk about preparation for men individually and women individually, and then also as marriages. So where do you want to start off?
We gotta flee to Christ. There's no more fencing, folks. If you know yourself to be a sinner, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners. He didn't come to save self-righteous religionists. That has got to be your priority number one, dear men and dear women. I agree with all that Doug has said about the physical aspect of preparations. Keep getting case lots of food and make sure you've got water filtration. Find places in your house to store said food. If you have multiple locations, that would be ideal. But back to the spiritual aspect of it, be much in prayer. Being importunate in prayer, constantly asking, seeking, and knocking with thanksgiving. All thank the Lord for everything you can think of. Most people take for granted they've got warm shelter. Most people take for granted they've got hot and cold running water. I mean, goodness sakes, look at Psalm 40, verse 5, and it's David couldn't even account all the things that he would should be thankful for. I thank the Lord for the things I just mentioned to you, dear ones. I thank him for indoor plumbing, an operational shallow water well. I thank him for the septic system. I thank him for the mail and package deliveries. Thank him for communication. Transportation. Thank him for my wood-burning stove and a huge amount of stacked firewood. I've never had this much on hand. Very grateful. Thank him for your first aid and your be thankful for vitamins and supplements and everything you can think of, dear folks, men and women. Be thankful and kind one toward one another, as that one scripture I read earlier.
Yeah, Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly."
Yep. Oh, there's a parallel scripture I'll give you. Make not friends with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest you learn of his ways and it become a snare unto your soul. Because the Lord wants his people to be separate. I mean, we have to live with people. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And just ask the Lord, pray him for prudence and sagacity and wisdom and understanding. But I think being thankful is a big, big thing. And we all need to be very thankful. We have so much to be grateful for. I'll shut up and let you go for a while there, brother.
Well, I think one of the next steps of preparedness that we need to talk about, individually for men, if you're a man and you live by yourself, Especially if you're a young man, focus on yourself and your spiritual walk. Don't get caught up with all this craziness and the clubs and the drinking and the chasing women and all that stuff. It's only going to lead to your ruin. If you don't have a good church to go to, I'd suggest finding one. And if your friends lead you to temptation nonstop and lead you to a place of ruin, you probably don't have good friends. So from there, women, same for you. But for couples, my wife and I, we talk about this all the time, how to help prepare people spiritually, like spiritual warfare and things of that nature. For one thing, as a man and woman, you got to be able to know how to come to terms with each other when you're both mad, when you're arguing, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard. That standard should be you together as a married couple standing on the rock of salvation. Use his standard, right? Be attached to that militaristic mindset of the Lord, where you attack together spiritually that problem that's coming at you. And by that, I mean overcoming it with the love of Christ, right? The love of Christ, love is going to conquer all. The love of Christ is going to conquer all. And we have to understand, as a married couple, when things get really, really bad, if you have a bad relationship right now, you don't talk to each other very much. You sleep, in different rooms, got different bank accounts. You're more or less just two individual people that are adjoined because of a piece of paper legally. You're gonna be in a really rough time when prophecy hits the fan. You
I
have to,
agree.
you got to settle those differences now. Settle them before God. Get right with one another. Your love for one another will only grow. Your strength together will only grow. Your trust with each other will only grow. And I am so thankful God gave me such a great woman as Amy, my wife. Someone who lifts me up. She doesn't tear me down. She motivates me. She doesn't hinder me. But she also makes sure that I'm not running around like Rambo trying to fight everybody. She knows how to throw the lariat over me when I start to be a bronc, a bucking bronc every now and then, and calm me down. Women, that's one thing. When your man gets upset, it doesn't help when you get more upset. One of the tactics we use in law enforcement is when people are screaming and yelling, talk in this tone. For a longest time that I've been doing this podcast, this is my natural voice. This is just how I speak. I'm not quiet, but I'm not loud, but you hear what I'm saying. And so, when your spouse is yelling, just talk normally. Talk normally. It's a police tactic. Eventually, the person who's yelling is going to come down to your level and you'll be able to talk. Get on the same level. Learn to talk things out. Learn to work things out. Don't storm off. I had that problem growing up with my parents. They'd get in a fight and they'd storm off, and that doesn't work. And especially if you have children, your children are observing everything that's going on. They're trained observers.
Oh,
What
yeah.
do you want your children to think of you as? And if you're a man and you're not, you know how important it is for the man of the house to be a man's man. And I mean, like, I'm not talking about like cartoon character, a guy who can go and chop wood with his hand. I'm talking about a man's man, a man who, accepts his defeats, who can accept when he's wrong, who can overcome diversity calmly, who doesn't lose his composure. All this bravado, all this fake bravado, this fake American tough guy stuff, it fails when bullets fire at you. All it fails. That all goes away. When the first explosion happens, it goes away. All those tough guys go and run. I've seen those tough guys cry. It's all a bunch of BS. So, you want to have your composure now. You want to have that mindset now, and to have a wife on board with you only makes you stronger. should something happen to you, you get sick, you get tired, you get hurt, you want a wife who knows more than just how to go to Starbucks and order a Frappuccino. You want a woman who doesn't mind if she has to stay up a little bit later to keep watch because you got to sleep eventually, right? You want someone who's not afraid to get calluses on her hands. And listen, for all you ladies out there who think you're little princesses and you know, the only thing you should ever do is, you know, walk your cat once a day, you know, and bake some cookies every now and then. And, you know, that's me, that, you know, that's all I got to do. When the power goes off and doesn't come back on, have fun. Good luck.
Oh, man.
Good luck. I hope you know what gardening actually is and vegetable gardens actually are. Hope you know animal husbandry. Hope you actually pay attention for those 8 hours you spend on your phone all the day. I hope it's watching, you know, preparedness stuff, and you know, but most likely it's not, right? People today are captivated with sitcoms and watching funny videos, and I get it, man. We all fall in line with that, but you got to have a reality check every now and then. And the power going off, dude, that's a reality check. Like when I was just recently in Peru, you know, this is the area that we were at was one of the most impoverished areas in the world. One of the most impoverished areas in the world. I would say that the people that were in Iraq that we fought against, not a nice, friendly area, were three times better prepared than the people in those jungles in Peru. But those people in those jungles in Peru thrive. They thrive in those types of living conditions. They, you know what a luxury it really is to not have to depend upon power and running water and all that type of stuff.
Did you happen to notice that they're, for the most part, much happier?
Super happy.
Than compared to spoiled Americans.
Dude, that's one of the things when we were in Iquitos, and then we started going out into secondary jungle and then primary jungle along the river. I mean, like, you know, these people are subsidiary farmers. What they catch, what they grow is what they eat. If they have a little bit extra, it goes into the, you know, the cellar, and that's what they don't have cellars, but you know, how in the hell they store their food. You know, if they don't go out and fish that day, they didn't eat that day. Right. So it's the children ran around barefoot. You know, the people walked around barefoot. The women had set assigned duties that they had to do every day. They had to get up no matter what the weather condition was. They had to go, you know, check where their yucca farms or banana farms are. The men had to go to the, you know, checking the rivers for fishing and whatnot. And they, when, here's the thing that I laughed about, me and Timothy Alberino smoking cigars, cruising the Amazon, sitting on the third deck of this ship, the top part of the deck of the ship. And I said, you know, man, when the whole world goes crazy, prophecy hits the fan, and let's just say the great, you know, incoming EMP happens in America, these people, they'll never know it. They'll never know it. They'll never know, because they live in it. They live in it. They thrive in it. They're living in it. Take any, you know, suburban housewife let's not pick on the women too much. Put the man in there too. All right, gents, you're not hardcore, so you can get over yourselves. You know, take away your fantasy football and your smartphone and your smart TV and your comfortable couch and you know, your leather chairs and, you know, take away the niceties of your life. And if I could insert a whole suburb of people, like 200 families worth of people, and put them out in the Peruvian jungle and replace those Peruvians and put them in your suburban household, one group will not thrive. The other group will think they're in second heaven.
Right.
I mean, that's a super reality check. And so, you know, I'm not any better. You know, we got power this and running water and, you know, heat and all that. You know, I sit back and I wonder, like, how prepared are we really? How prepared are we for a civil war, really? How prepared are we for the grid going down, the dollar devaluing to the point that it's worth nothing? How honestly prepared are Americans? And we're not. We're just not. And so I think, you know,
Agreed.
with our American politics meddling in all the Middle Eastern plans, meddling in Russia and China, eventually when the world decides to smack America back, we're really not going to be prepared at
Man, hey,
all.
I just thought of something that could help some people. I don't represent the following company, but they make a really good product. It's called Nature's, that's plural with an S, naturesgenerator.com. And you can get a 3,600 watt generator. And on top of it come these power pods, in other words, batteries. You can get as many as you want. I've got two power pod batteries with the main generator, and they sell a wind turbine which you can mount at the apex, the top of your house. And what that'll do when you plug it into your generator, it'll keep trickling charge the power pod batteries. And they sell 100 watt solar panels. I got six of those, and you know, that could keep your freezers running. And just wanted to let folks know about that. I think it's a and it's out it's an outstanding concept. If you can afford it, Generac makes really nice propane operated generators. I've got a 10,000 watt model. And God bless little Kelly Joe, who's now with the Lord Jesus in paradise, but it was her idea to get another dedicated propane tank for our generator. And so I'm thankful for that extra fuel. So I'm kind of like redundancy. You know, if one fails, well, I'll go to the secondary as a backup, you know. It's
Absolutely.
a bit of coin involved, but that parallels with your outstanding points regarding preparation.
Well, you know, people who have the means, you know, I talked to a few guys one time, like, man, preparing just costs too much when they got, you know, a sports car, a bass boat, you know, 3,500 square foot house. You know, and I'm like, well, I don't think it costs a lot to think your priorities are just kind of mixed up, you know, because, you know, these are the same guys who'll have 50 guns in a safe and never shoot any of them. You know, it's like, oh, yep, bought me another AR this week. You know, what are you going to do with it, man? Are you going to eat it when you run out of, you know, your Oreos? You know, it's in America, we call it prepping. I learned in Peru, that's just life. It's just survival. You know what was the most treasured commodity for the men that we were around for those, like, you know, like almost 2 weeks? A
A
fishing
Bic
pole.
lighter.
A fishing pole.
Okay.
A good fishing pole. That was a high quality commodity. I mean, like, you know, you don't think about it until. You know, that's literally what you live on. They don't have many animals in the forest besides like freaking monkeys and jungle deer and a few other things. So everything that they eat typically comes from that water source, or it's, you know, it's flown in. So, you know, consider your area, consider where you're at. I know out here in Texas where I'm at, we got hogs, we got deer, and you know, we got a few lakes, so you're kind of limited. There's not many squirrels and all that out here. And trust me, buddy, you're not going to live on squirrels for very long. I remember Paleo Research Group, we were up in northern Arkansas. investigating this area that had a bunch of Bigfoot sightings. And we're talking with the owners of this, 100 plus acres area. And she said, back in like the 80s and 90s, growing up as a little girl or whatever, she remembered when, oh no, this would be like the 70s. She remembered when there were no deer in northern Arkansas because they'd all been hunted out, and you had to go to southern Arkansas in order to hunt for deer. Okay. That's with the lights on, and that's with people being able to drive. Imagine when you can't just walk to southern Arkansas to go bag a deer. And there's a lot more people wanting meat than there is meat in the forest.
Yep.
That's why cattle herders, cattle farmers and cattle herds are so important. Did you know that we are at the lowest amount of cattle herds in American history?
Since what, the 20s?
Yep. This is the lowest amount we've ever had. And that the price of beef is about to go an eight extra dollars higher right now. Like, a pound of beef is like $8.50, $8.90. I think that's what I was reading on the USDA website. And they're saying it's projected to go close to $24 a pound.
I believe it. And that's something else, friends. If you can afford it, there's a lot of companies that are selling freeze-dried beef, chicken, turkey. There's a company called Yoders, and they sell all that stuff. It's not freeze dried, but it's in a large can, and having that stuff on hand is very, very prudent. There's going to be a worldwide shortage of rice, also, Brother Doug.
Oh,
and,
man.
One way you can store rice is you can get the food grade 5 gallon. Plastic buckets and Mylar bags, and you put your rice in there and then seal it up. Or you could use canning jars.
We use the 5 gallon bucket method. You can go down to your local hardware store, and you get an attachment that goes on top of the bucket for like an extra like $20 or whatever, and it's a sealed lid.
Oh yeah, I've got those too. They're mine are red.
Yeah, ours are all white. It's probably just a local thing, but we buy rice probably. I think we try to get like a 20 pound or 50 pound bag of rice at least every month. But this family eats a lot of rice. More especially, this guy eats a lot of rice. Just because of my diet. But we go through a lot of meat, and it wouldn't take much for two households to, save up a paycheck's worth and go and have a cow slaughtered. Maybe $2,300, maybe $2,500. And you can go have a cow slaughtered and split it between the families. Wait a month or so, or 2 months, and then do it again. Wouldn't that be a blessing? You had so much meat, you had to go buy another freezer. When the power goes out, I remember the old folks, my grandparents, more especially my grandfather, because it's where he hid a lot of his moonshine and beer. But out in the woods, he would take old refrigerators, and he'd dig down about 4 feet. Like, if you dig down about 3 feet, you'll notice dogs do this. They'll dig down about 3 feet into the ground. It's about 50 degrees. So you dig about 4 feet down, and you take an old refrigerator or old freezers, really good, and you bury it to the, about 2 to 3 inches before you get to the lid. Make sure you don't do it in a flood zone. And you can keep vegetables very cool, water very cool. With meat, you got to salt it. There's just no way around it. You got to salt the meat. Salt it and smoke it and salt it, right? There's no other way around that. But for hundreds of years, that's how people have kept meat clean and fresh and edible. We only got about two Excellent. Minutes left. So I just just a reminder, for those of you who, you're married, make sure that you and your spouse are together in agreement on the same path, All right. Whatever differences you got, you better settle them soon. Settle them before the Lord and do it in love. If you're single, take care of yourself, invest wisely. Don't go out bar hopping and running around and wasting your money and wasting your time. Be smart with your investments, especially your spiritual investments. And if you can, save yourself for the right person. If not, still save yourself for the right person. Doesn't mean you have to, go crazy out there just because you're single. I know it sounds like fatherly advice, but trust me, there's some grown men out there who still need some fatherly advice. The last thing I'd say is prepare wisely. Prepare wisely. Prepare now. Doesn't mean you got to run around like Chicken Little with your head cut off, but watch the news. If you can, get some training. We're offering training December 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. I think we only got like 8 or 9 people signed up. We can hold, 20 plus people. So if you don't have training, you want to learn about how to patrol as a group, as a team environment. That's how we're going to be working this upcoming weeks. We're going to be doing live fire training, the shoot house with scenario based training, which is what everybody loves. That's why we got guys coming 2 or 3 times to this training because of what we do in that shoot house, because it makes you think, because what we're going to experience is a people problem. It's not going to be a paper target problem coming to break into your house. You got to know how to use your brain along with the gun and use your voice. So that's one of the main skills. And, we're teaching radio classes, a little bit of medical class while we're there, teaching people how to operate in and out of a vehicle, doing stuff at night, shooting at night, how to use flashlights. It may, sound simple to some people, but I promise you, if you've never done anything like this, you will walk away greatly benefiting what we're trying to teach people.
Heck
So
yeah.
if anyone's interested, this next course, you can find it at readymaderesources.com. It's a $1,000 course that's going to throw in with meals. So that's going to include at least 2 meals a day for you. And come out while you can. I don't know how long we're going to be able to put this training on for. And I don't foresee the future. So who knows, man? The nukes may start flying tomorrow. And whatever training you had, that's the last bit of training you'll get. And then you get what, Billy and I call real world training. So, Billy, I'll give you the last 2 or 3 minutes, man. Go ahead.
Saints of Christ Jesus our Lord, ask the Father to pour out his Holy Spirit to help you and all of his people to maintain a continual attitude of thanksgiving and praise. And yes, we're going to go into some very dark valley of tears, but even during that, be thankful and pray Almighty God to command songs of deliverances to the brethren that are in bonds, those who are suffering adversity, not just in America, but all around the world. Thank the Lord that he continues to this day, he continues to rebuke the devourer from amongst us for his name's sake. Thank Almighty God, that he continues to encamp his angel round about them that fear him, and the Lord delivers his people. Pray Almighty God that in wrath that he remember mercy, and pray continually as the master commanded, that we be accounted worthy to escape the things which are soon to come upon the earth and up from the earth, and the very heavens are going to be shaken. Pray that we be accounted worthy to escape, that we may stand before the Son of Man. Thank you so much, Doug, for what you do and for having me on. And I hope the brethren are edified and cheered in Christ. That's all I got.
Brother, we always appreciate you coming on with us. You're always invited anytime you want. I appreciate these gospel messages. For one thing, it's good for my soul, and I know for many other people, it's good for them. And so long as the Lord tells us, we shall continue to fight and persevere. Guys, maintain the strength and unity of that shield wall, that phalanx of faith. That's the only thing we have is our love for Christ, and he's the one who fights for us. So Keep your
in my head.
faith and hope in Jesus. Guys, that's all we got. Thank you very much. Stay frosty. We'll see you next time.
Take care, folks.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.